Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. I'm Michael Colligan. I'm with my co-host today, Gregory Eric. And today we have the great pleasure of speaking with the founding principal, Avi Moore. He's been practicing lighting design for over 20 years. After graduating from the University of Kansas with a BFA in theater design and with an emphasis in architectural and theatrical lighting design, he moved back to his hometown of Chicago to further his craft. Avi has grown his business from a small operation with only a handful of clients to a bustling firm with projects of all sizes located around the nation. Avi's work spans commercial, hospitality, educational, and residential projects ranging from business interiors, hotels, restaurants, and outdoor events to educational institutions, museums, condominiums, and private residences. Avi is involved with all the projects at Moorelights. He has been recognized by the U.S. Department of Energy, where he serves as a committee member and forum reviewer for the Next Generation Lighting Industry Alliance, and has spoken at several conferences on the future of solid-state lighting and luminaire technology. He is the third certified lighting designer, CLD, in the world, a professional member of the IALD, and a member of the Illuminating Engineering Society, where he is the former president of the Chicago section. Avi is also an affiliated professional member of the American Institute of Architects, AIA, Chicago section. In his spare time, Avi is both a cruising and racing sailor. He has done 5 Chicago Yacht Club Mack Island races and is an active member of the Chicago Yacht Club. He also enjoys working with his hands in his small home shop and tackling his never-ending list of projects around the house with his wife and 3 boys. But before we get to Avi, Greg, we got to talk about the gangsters of New York. Satco. Go to SATCO.com, Greg Garrick, for the gangsters.
That's right. We're going to talk about more of a practical lamp today. So 8-foot light bulbs. You know, anytime I saw an 8-foot fluorescent in the past, I'm like, I got to make it 4-foot. I have to break it down and get it out of there.
Put it in
4-foot. Not anymore, man. I'm telling you, Satco's got an LED 2-piece 8-foot T8. That's right. It ships.
I just saw it in my office the other day. Boom. Put it together.
Awesome. That's right, 3 wattages, 5 Kelvin temperatures. They give you the high output and the single output, everything in it, easy to go. Now you don't have to make it all 4-foot and mess with reflectors and socket kits. Keep it 8-foot.
You just got to go down to the gangsters, man. Get straight up with the gangsters. That's Satco, SATCO.com. Of course, Satco, longtime members, Greg, of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Do you have light bulbs in a warehouse? You son of a gun out there, you? That's right, Greg Eric. Then you should be a member. Oh, you are a member. No, but if you're listening to this and you have light bulbs in a warehouse, you got to join the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors because you're either a vendor or you're a member, one or the other. And this is your crucial shield against the battering ram of the government on the industry. We got to take them down to you know where, folks, and change things up. Avi, welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. How are you, bud?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
Hey, and Avi, and looking at your website, you have a blog. It was a little bit ago, but the title says you want lighting, not lights. You know, I want lights. I want to sell lights, but your point is made. Tell us what you mean by that. Give it to us.
Well, you know, some of my favorite friends are lighting distributors here in Chicago, and I think lighting distributors after manufacturers, we need people to make them. The distributors are our next best friends in this industry, but it's not about the product. It's about what you want in your space and how do you want your space to feel. So whether that's an office or a restaurant or a condo association, a condo building, it doesn't matter the space type. For me, it always starts with the feel. What's the emotion you're trying to set? In a number of your guys' podcasts, you talked a lot about like what the customer wants, right? It doesn't matter who makes the thing. What's important is what does the customer want? What do they want to feel? What do they want to do? How do they want to turn it on? Like all those other elements. That's the first question. The second question is, okay, what should it be? I always talk about it as lights being the paint to make the art.
Mm.
We got to make the art first. What are you going to make? What are you going to build? And then you apply the technology, LED, sodium, metal halide. Who cares what it is? Who cares who makes it? But what do you want it to feel like? And that's, I think, really important and gets lost a lot of times in the conversation.
I think the disconnect is that there's more than a feeling, Avi. that we have to establish. We need to be able to maintain the feeling. And so that's where a distributor comes in, where it's kind of that where a distributor and designer diverge from one another, right? So the designer comes in and paints the, you know, the masterpiece, and for a couple of years, it's great. Then the distributor comes in and the guy says, yeah, I need to fix those lights. And you're like, what lights are you talking about? Oh, those custom built tape lighting system in the cove that's connected to a DMX system. Yeah. Good luck with that, buddy. that's $1,000 a foot problem you got there. I think that's the disconnect. It's more than a feeling. We have to be able to maintain that feeling of you.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that is a major problem that we are seeing with lighting designers out there in the industry is they aren't thinking about how do you maintain it. I mean, let's remember, the warranty is 5 years from almost all LED manufacturers these days, but it doesn't include labor. Okay, so let's digest that a little bit. How do you replace it? I know you guys have talked a little bit about a project that there was something buried in concrete. I mean, whose right mind was that to bury an LED product that will fail in something that's not removable? In my opinion, the only thing you can put in concrete is fiber, because at the end somewhere, you're going to have an illuminator in a space that you can access.
Conduit is often sunk in the slab. There's conduit in the slab all the time. And then they pour it around the boxes all the time. And if you have a special box for a light, it could be approved and it's in the concrete and that light comes from Italy or Germany or someplace else. That's a problem for the customer. At the end of the day, you have to, likely that light is going to be capped because it's just too expensive to fix. Yeah.
The couple of fixtures that we've done in concrete have come from manufacturers like Canada is one company that I can think of without using company names. And the guarantee, I mean, we're all dealing with guarantees and LEDs and all this stuff, right? But the guarantee is that's our size. We will have a device that could drop into that for the next 30 years. Mm-hmm. Like guaranteed, right? And the nice thing is it has a connector that's buried in the box that you could get it out and remove it. And, you know, one thing that my team always looks at is, okay, show me how you get that out. Do I need some special tool? Well, that's a problem because that tool got lost, right? It needs to be something you can get to. I think it's kind of simple, but I always turn to this. Downlights. You have a 4-inch downlight. How are you going to get that driver out of the opening? I mean, I can't tell you how many times, right? I mean, I have a big hand too. First of all, they never put enough wire. The factories never put enough wire to get that thing out. Okay, let's start there. But the second piece is, like, is the clip to remove the driver on the side of the opening or is that on the other side? Big, huge manufacturer, you know, name brand company. We did 1,000 downlights on this job. The sample we had the driver on the opening side. They shipped 1,000 fixtures with the driver on the other side. So I think the challenge that we have, the lighting designers and the distributors, is like some of these factories are saying one thing and then doing something else. Or I'm sure you guys have seen, like, we had a big problem in COVID where the third shift didn't know what the second and first shift did. So the third shift light fixtures weren't built anywhere like the first and second ones. And they ended up having the contractor in the field ended up having to do a lot of work. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, I mean, either one of us can run with this. Why don't you take a stab at what I'm saying here? I mean, there's a million different directions. We talk about this kind of stuff all the time on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, that's for sure.
I know, why I wanted to chat with you guys, because I truly think that there are far too many lighting designers out there that aren't thinking about what you guys are talking about a lot, which is the maintenance side of it. And I'll tell you that we wrestle with this a lot too, and it's kind of unique for us. that we do have some clients that we actually help maintain their projects. I know you guys are talking with Richard about lighting controls, which I'm extremely passionate about, and we could probably go on and on about that stuff. But the maintenance side of that, it's not the same as it used to be, right? I mean, you're talking about DMX. That's not easy. But I think that I believe that there's an education side of all of this that's not happening very well. And I think that is the lighting designers living in their little fiefdoms and not having good conversations with the distributors they work with. And then to the contractors, not fully understanding the systems that they're buying, let alone the systems they're installing. And then they have no clue how to maintain them, let alone do they become the person who gets called to maintain it,
I'll
right?
give
They
you
don't
I'll
have
give
the
you a
grip.
perfect I'll give you a perfect example of this and a very, very simple application, likely not even designed by a lighting designer, just a parking garage I was in today. Okay? So there's no lighting design, there's no feeling to maintain. You want the damn lights on. Okay? So the customer calls us up and says, "Hey, you know what? The cold is causing our light fixtures to dim." And I said, "How old's your building?" He says, "5 years old." I said, "Is your garage open to the weather?" He's like, "No." I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me. So anyway, I go to the building, I walk in, and he's like, "Yeah, see, that's from the cold, and the it's fluorescent tubes in a vapor tight fixture in a sealed parking garage where it's about 5 degrees Celsius or 40 degrees Fahrenheit for you Americans listening, okay? So it's not that cold, and it's T8, and the ballast is rated to negative 18, and it's in a vapor tight fixture. Oh, it's the sensors actually that they just started putting into parking garages all over the place. Oh, and the time delay is 1 minute. So the sensors are going off and on like 60 times a day, whatever it is, like 50, 40 times. You can't have more than 10 or 15 offs and ons in a day, or you're going to wreck the light. I don't care if it's LED or fluorescent or whatever it is, it's going to be destroyed. And so I figured this out. Now, this is a situation where, the design is okay, but the contractor didn't actually commission the occupancy sensors to be a 15-minute time delay or a 10-minute time delay, or maybe nobody directed them to commission the occupancy sensors to that time. And so you're in the situation, right? So then they were going to rip all the lights out. This is hap when you increase complexity of E, you have to increase management. You have to increase the downstream management. Otherwise, you're not going to get the results you're looking for from a lighting system or anything else.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think you should actually, if you can, take that parking garage concept one step further, which is think about walking out of the elevator and you slowly see lights turn up to full. I actually think that's a pretty horrible situation
I
versus
agree.
having areas. So one sensor to control a group of lights versus a sensor in every fixture. There's people in the DOE, there's people around the world that would say you should have a sensor in every light fixture. And I say, why? It's not a security system, it's a lighting system. And two, oh my God, the amount of stuff you just bought, more expensive. And number three, back to your point, how do you maintain that? I don't
Yeah, sensors get
understand.
dirty. Listen, garage sensors, I've done many garage sensors in my career, Avi, and we always do scout sensors so that the people that are using the garage, they don't even know that the lights are going off and on because they're turned on prior to the person going into the garage. And they're maintained while the person is in the garage by area. So a deck or sometimes a floor of a garage can have different areas that maybe you can control, but usually it's not like that. Usually you want all the lights in that level coming on because people don't want to look across a dark parking garage. That doesn't feel safe to anybody. Okay? I don't care what the code says. Nobody likes that. Why do I know that? Because I deal with the property managers every day who tell me this. Right? Well, I don't like the lights in the garage. They're going off. Why are the lights going? Why are they coming? Oh, that's because the time delays are too slow, or that's because you have fi sensors on every fixture. So you walk through the garage and tick, 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 because that's not how it should work. So those end up being disabled and overridden. That's what happens all the time.
Well, and you're speaking my story, design, right? And I think that there are places for a independent lighting designer group like us to design a restaurant or a hotel or something like that. I mean, we've done parking garages on the residential towers we're doing because why the heck not? It doesn't cost us anything more to do it, right?
Sure.
But there's also intelligent, smart lighting distributor folks. There's intelligent lighting people like Richard, like that design a space as opposed to just buying the two pieces, putting them in and saying, oh, here, this is what you wanted, and leaving it hanging.
Yeah, and
And
I think
yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say one of the things that kind of stuck out to me there, Avi, you mentioned is that that going back to that recessed can example where you got a sample, is that something most lighting designers practice is actually physically getting it, or do you trust the cut sheet? Because even when you physically got it, it didn't work out, and a lot of times when you look at a cut sheet or a spec sheet, it doesn't give you those defined areas on where the driver is, how big it is, how you access it, how much wire there is, any of that stuff. So what's the best practice to do?
Well, I have to ask, do you trust your auto dealer, the salesperson in that dealership?
Don't really
50-50,
have one.
I would say.
Yeah, but sometimes.
Yeah.
An auto dealership is a separate business from an auto manufacturing business. Okay?
Absolutely.
So, like a dealership, like there's lighting dealerships too, which are like, people that are GE houses or whatever, and they kind of agents or specifiers or whatever. They're kind of like dealerships where they like it when your new car breaks because they get money from the manufacturer. They love that, right? They love warranty calls on cars, dealerships. So they're actually separate businesses from one another. So I would take them in as individuals, Avi, but I see your point,
So, for us, we don't trust anything on a cut sheet, and we don't trust the photometrics given in a cut sheet because there's a marketing department. Between the engineer who can speak our technical language and us, there's a marketing person in the middle that's making it look really nice. Well, they miss a lot of things. I mean, I can't tell you how many. I mean, you guys have seen it too, right? An L gets replaced in an F, and the whole fixture shifts, and it's the wrong color
Sure.
because they mislabeled it on the cut sheet.
This is more prevalent at your end of the industry, though. So these kinds of cut sheet problems are more prevalent in the highly specified environment, right? Where everyone's trying to make an extra buck on something fancy schmancy, Mr. Smarty Pants specified, okay? And it's got the special code so no one else can quote it. And then that guy gets fired, and 2 years later they do the project, and then now the wrong code goes through and the wrong stuff arrives at the site. So it's actually that kind of problem, spec sheet problems, are more at the specification design end of the industry than they are with the gangsters at Satco that deal with distributors, Greg. No chance.
But I'll tell you, like just a linear fixture, like a
Sure.
white goods fixture from a major brand. We had a project, a theater that there was a L or an W or something left off, and now all of a sudden we needed that to dim to zero, and all the fixtures on site just dimmed to a level and it didn't turn off, and it was missed between the submittal and the purchase order. I mean, so. But to get at your core question, we always mock it up. And I'll tell you, we did a situation where we're lighting a building in Milwaukee, and we got the IES file from the manufacturer, and we put it in our rendering system, and we looked at it. I was like, wait, that's got some weird optic thing going on. That can't be right. There's got to be something wrong with it. So we get a sample fixture. We actually set up a whole rig to hang the fixture off the side of the building. The weird optic character existed in the light. So for me personally, now I trust that manufacturer's IES files until the next version of their product comes out, and then we'll have to mock it up again and verify that it actually is right. But you can only take it so far. Back when LEDs all first started, and I always talk about this when I'm talking to clients, everybody made an LED. Right, it was the the rain jacket. Let me show you the cool LED strips I make. I make them better than anybody else. I think that still exists with some of the best name brands out there today because they're all publicly traded. So now it's about this public trading thing and oh, we got to make our margins for the year. We got to make our margins for the month. We got to have that unique part number that you can't cross to the other rep because, you know, and this is another whole problem with the industry is the designers aren't protecting their specs. Guaranteed, ask any of the rep agencies in Chicago. They'll tell you what we do to protect our specs and to protect our reps and protect our distributors because what we want is what we want, which is what we want. And the client knows how much it costs and everybody makes enough money on it. But the nonsense that happens in the background between the next level up, I want to be cautious because I love everybody, but I think we can all, we can chat about a group of people that are in our industry, which we all don't know how much they make and we all don't know how much things actually cost. But there, we have a great YouTube video, by the way, which describes how fixtures are priced, and I recommend people go look at that. But we have this place where the designer is no longer the designer as soon as it goes out to bid. And while I said this before, I'll say it again, I think intelligent, smart electrical distributors that understand the lights they're selling and they don't just take it from a rep agency and push it out the door. They ask the right questions. They are the godsends of making lighting happen. But there isn't enough of
go them. To NALD.org. If you got light bulbs, and, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, so I, you know, listen, a couple things I want to insert into your argument. You tell me what you think. Okay, and Greg, yep. maybe you can jump in here. First of all, most lighting designers until about 2020 thought LED actually believed that LEDs would last forever. Okay, so they not only did they not prepare for maintenance or consider maintenance. Okay, they actually didn't believe that the LEDs they were specifying would ever burn out. Okay,
I would completely agree with you that there were many of them, not me.
Okay.
We thought that we're doing that.
But that, so if you went down to a nailed convention and people, you know, you'd have some guy with a Southern accent say, what are you talking about? Never burning out. That's impossible, Michael. You know, like that we never, nobody in our association ever bought that. I mean, maybe in 2013 or something like that, Greg. You know what I'm saying? A long time ago, Paul Hafner was talking about how LEDs do good in the cold. Remember that? Back in 2012 or something like that. But yeah, they're probably going to burn out in high heat environments. I remember that speech he gave somewhere in South Carolina. That's the first thing. The designers had drank the Kool-Aid the most and were the most drunk and were the latest to come to. Okay, on that. Uh-huh. That's the first problem. The second thing on along that line is that what do you call that when the reverse engineering or the specifying for cost that would go on in the old days where somebody would have a 4-lamp T8 fixture and it had an acrylic lens on it and you crossed it from X company to B company made zero difference to the end user. Okay.
Right.
Or you had like a 2-lamp Vapor-Tight. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who cares whose brand it is? What's the ballast that's in it? You know what I mean? What are the lamps you're going to put in it? Today, that's totally off the table. You cannot reverse engineer that, especially with controls. It's you're going to be in big trouble if you start trying to go deep into that value engineering place. So number one, LEDs burn out. Number two, value engineering isn't what it was in 2010. You can't just people are not cranking out the same bent metal with a slightly different reflector on it that makes no difference. Things are super different at the specification end of the market from one strip to another, like you said with your theater, right? Does it go all the way down to zero or not? Or is it dimmable doesn't mean anything, Avi. The word dimmable, what is that actually? What are you talking about dimmable? 0 to 100? More dim, warm, dim? You know, there's all sorts of different ways you can go. So though the reverse engineering or the value engineering perspective and the fact that LEDs are going to burn out and they will burn out probably within 5 years, if not even shorter than that, two fluorescent tubes lives, that's a problem for designers. They need to accept that. And then the customers need to deal with the fact that value engineering is almost impossible. There's my spiel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so there's a lot of things that we do with that. You know, when we start talking to a client, they ask us, how long do these last? So, well, the products you're going to get into your building don't exist today. You know, long-term project, maybe shorter-term project, they exist today, but nobody knows how long they would last because they haven't been around that long. But here's what we can tell you. The warranty is 5 years, which includes the parts for this product. It does not include the labor to replace it. So you should budget that in 5 years, you're going to have to replace all the lights.
Hmm. You tell people this?
I standard more lights policy. Hmm. There's no other answer to that, guys. So what do you have to do? You have to specify things that have service. So I can tell you we've done restaurants, all LED. And we are now helping them maintain it because they don't have a maintenance staff per se. And we're not going up
because
there.
Because there's a new joke, Avi, that how many people does it take to change a light bulb? You can't change the light bulb because there is no light bulb.
We look to products that have a service option, i.e. driver and LED array that is removable and replaceable with screws and whatever else is required, even a star-headed screw. It's got to be something I can buy on Amazon to service it and replace it. And I will tell you that we have not opened up drywall to service these restaurants and maintain them. There is one massive caveat. We used a product that got purchased by somebody else. And those are light bulbs that are bricked in some way. And now these restaurants do have a challenge that we are continuing to work through dealing with a product that this new manufacturer doesn't really want to maintain. So there is this problem, right? But I guess what I'm saying is that we're always looking to that option and that way, because I believe it is the designer's responsibility to make sure that it can be serviced and maintained. Okay, there is the possibility that that manufacturer doesn't exist anymore. Like I just said, a manufacturer gets bought by another one and doesn't make it anymore. There are those instances. Those instances exist with fire alarm systems. They exist with elevators, you know, escalators, all that kind of stuff, right? This is not new to the industry as a whole, construction. It is to lighting. And you have to start with educating the client. And for us, we go as far as getting to the maintenance professionals and saying, hey, this is the deal. And I want to take it one step further, which is we also provide all the manufacturer part numbers, lists, all that stuff on a Dropbox link for all of our customers. So like, it's not a we're done designing, we're done. It's also not a, hey, we got the lighting controls working, we're out of here. No, here's the program file for the software. Here's the programmer. Here's the manufacturer's phone number. Here's a QR link to all your as-builts, everybody. Here's the contractor, the distributor, all the manufacturers involved, right?
Like, this I really wish you wouldn't do all this, Avi, because you're getting in the way of my business. Greg,
well,
go ahead.
We want you to
That's my business. Those are my customers.
But I mean, like, in the end, like, we do a lot of work with a particular distributor here in Chicago because we love them. They're a member of the organizations. They understand what we're doing. And in the end, it's a direct line between the distributor and that client to get the drivers, right? As you said, drivers don't fall off of trucks anymore. They have to be pre-programmed by the factories. But you as distributors can help relay that and get that to them. I think it's actually a great service to connect you directly so they can maintain it. Mm. But somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to do it, whether that's the lighting designer or the distributor or the intelligent electrical contractor. There are few and far of those in this.
No, there's a whole organization called NAMCO, man. And those guys are great. They're great. Greg, what do you got?
Yeah. No, they are. So when did you start telling your clients that they're going to have to replace everything within 5 years or in 5 years? And do you have a follow-up system now that you check in 5 years and say, all right, it's time, let's go? Or you just check in and see where we're at?
So the second one, no, because I'm a terrible marketer and I need to get better at that. And we have some tools that we're working on now. I mean, 20 years of doing this and not, still not good at follow-up. So I'm working on that. The first part is almost every job starts asking how long is this stuff going to last? It costs more. So again, the almighty dollar starts popping in. So you have to start talking about that. And they're like, oh my God, we're going to spend how much for a downlight? Why can't I go to Home Depot? Well, it's got a 5-year warranty. Oh, okay. So it's going to last for forever? No. This manufacturer says it's 5 years. Well, why don't they say forever? Because they don't know. So I don't know. So you don't know. Nobody knows. Can have all the standards in the
But
world,
that's been
all this
true
stuff.
forever. Like the rated average life in the lighting industry has always been a load of shit. Part a load of crap. Sorry, everyone relax for a second. Has always been a load of crap. There you can edit it out after, Scotty. But I mean, listen,
But you
you're
can
sitting
change a
there
light
having
bulb.
these conversations, okay? I'm having these conversations with people after this stuff has been installed. Greg's doing the same thing I'm doing, okay? And I sit in front of them and I say, listen, you bought a purpose-built LED light fixture for a parking garage that's on 24/7 or that is being controlled with lighting controls. And so now you got to replace it with something where you can change the light bulb. Do you know how attractive that is to people when I say not only can you change the light bulb, but there's no ballast in the fixture and that light bulb is available from every manufacturer in lighting. All the major manufacturers make the same double-ended T8 tube, and now you can change the color on the tube, Greg. I mean, this is landing with customers. They think it's crazy that they can't change a light bulb at a commercial property in a parking garage on a street light. Like, you can't change the light bulb? No, you can't fix it. Why? It's impossible to fix it. What are you talking about? No, there's no parts available for that fixture. Actually, not only that though, but the manufacturer's gone. They're no longer in business.
Right. I think speaking to the parking garage and utilitarian type products, like I tend to agree. I mean, as part of our initial DOE reviews that I was a part of, looking at replacement products and those replacement lamps, I mean, the efficiency of those replacement lamps versus a fixture that natively had LEDs in it was more efficient, longer life, blah, 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 right? But if it's in somebody's mind that they want a replacement lamp, I think all power to them and just know the things you're getting into. But on the other side, when you look at a product that's made by a high-end manufacturer that makes a parking garage fixture, right? You're going beyond the, let's use stupid numbers, right? $5 fixture, you're now in the $100 fixture. That $100 fixture better darn work for the warranty times three.
No
And if it
chance.
does, then the
None of them will last that
conversation,
long.
I got to tell you that in some of the restaurants, though, like 10 years, we haven't touched some of the lights.
I
We
gotta
haven't
see these
touched it.
restaurants.
It's still
I'm
working.
skeptical. So you're telling me that you've done LED upgrades in 2014 and those lights still
2014.
work? No way. I'm thinking maybe 2017, 18, you were doing restaurants with all LED purpose built. But
I have
2014,
seen some exterior lighting, some of the best exterior lighting
exterior,
out there.
yes, I would say yes.
Totally lasting still. Crazy. Yeah.
But changing color though.
Maybe.
Changing color, so you're using different LEDs at different times.
Changing color. So Avi, we're at 35 minutes here. This
Sorry,
has been
man.
an interesting conversation. We kind of crashed into one another on this show. I love those kinds of shows.
It's
Ah!
great.
Yeah,
Well,
for
I
sure.
love how passionate you guys are because I believe that too. This industry's got to shift, have more conversation, and amongst anything, stop talking to ourselves and get out there like you guys are doing and talk to the building owners and talk to the building managers. And we all learn when we talk to people who are not ourselves, right? And we put these kinds of videos out there to get education and get people to understand that there are really lovely, amazing people like the three of us who care about this stuff more than the other person they may be talking to, or maybe
Greg's
they
trying,
could just
Greg's
ignore
laughing right now inside. Are you talking about Colligan?
No.
Listen, Avi, it's funny. You think about all this kind of thing that's out there, okay? What I would say is a lot of people talk about educating the customer. We got to educate the lighting industry. Forget about the customer, Okay, we all have to get on the same page. And you know, you get, and like you picked on the contractors a little bit. I don't pick on the contractors, man. I find a lot of those contractors know a hell of a lot more about what's happening on the field than me, Greg. And I don't know, sometimes I talk to them like, this is a stupid idea. And then sometimes I talk to a lighting designer who's really smart. And then on all those areas, there's people that don't know that much. But we need more leadership. Greg, do you have any final thoughts, Greggy, before we shut down here with Oveymore?
No, I agree. And I think the big takeaway that I want to see is the lighting designers that are building new spaces to do what you're doing. And I hope more people do, you know, because at the end of it, we're the ones that have to deal with trying to help them maintain something that's a lot of times not maintainable. And we look like the bad guy when we're like, sorry, man, we didn't put it in. We didn't design it. That's just what it is. And now we got to work with it.
But the good news is I don't make lights.
That's
And
right.
you know, I'm here to help. So go to, but you know what? If you need help, I'll tell you right now, there's the gangsters of New York. Satco, go to SATCO.com, Greg Garrick.
I'm
Talk
telling you that
about
8 foot T8 lamp.
whew, talk about light bulbs in a warehouse. Oh my God. Those guys have like your warehouse, my warehouse, everybody in Nailed's warehouse, that's Satco. They got everything
And
down
every
there.
product out there. They
Oh
got it.
man. SATCO.com. And of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. If you've got light bulbs in a warehouse, you belong in Nailed. That's right. Bottom line, if you have light bulbs in a warehouse, you're either a member or a manufacturing member of Nailed, one or the other. So let's go. Join the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, the fastest moving association in the industry, NALD.org. And of course, Aviemore. We're going to throw up more lights, social media on the website here is Facebook. He's got a LinkedIn. He's got an Instagram. He's got a YouTube channel. And of course, when he was talking about Richard, Greg, he was talking about Richard Witten. Is that correct, Ovi? From
Yeah, Richard Wagner. We go way back.
Louvers, from Louvers International, the legend, the man, the myth, the legend. So it's episode 338 for those listening right now. If you want to go back and check that one out, you know, we love you guys and girls out there in the lighting industry. Thank you for listening and watching. Bye for now.